The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and hope you're having a good day. And let's see, there's a problem with the Facebook. With Facebook, I guess Facebook is down, and we feed to Facebook. So on the video aspect, so if it's not there, not us, it's them. So to let you know, we still have the YouTube thing going on for a while. As you may have heard, YouTube is cracking down on conservative stuff dealing with anything on COVID and vaccinations. They're censoring people, and they're trying to be fair and stuff. But anyway, that's what it is. I spent the weekend downloading a lot of files, and I've been downloading and downloading and downloading, and then all of a sudden, I just checked 2 minutes ago, and most of the files I just downloaded have disappeared off my computer. I'm like, oh man! So I got more to figure out. So much to do. Hey, look, folks, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And yeah, I want to hear from you. Okay, all you got to do is just dial that. All right, we have wide open lines right now, and as many of you know, I've been doing research on COVID, and we'll continue to do that. Also, I just want to let you know that I do a Patreon thing, and I want to talk about this a little bit. Normally, I don't really talk about it because I just don't, but I do Patreon, and Patreon is a way you can support what I do. So I've not had a raise, you know, that's how it's life, and we know how things are in like 7 years, and the cost of living is going up, and I use Patreon to help make up the difference. And what I do on Patreon is I produce videos, and only Patreon members can see them, and I've been doing a series on the Trinity and on other topics and things like that. If that sounds interesting to you, and if you are curious about it, you want to check things out, just go to Patreon.com/Matt Slick, and you should be able to find out everything there. We do use it to help keep the lights on and stuff like that. So all you got to do is check that out. All right. Let's see, Patreon. That's it, P-A-T-R-E-O-N. All right, we have no callers waiting. I want to hear from you. If you are a new listener, this is a Christian apologetics show. It's a little bit different than a lot of shows that are talk about the Bible and stuff like that. We just take live call-in shows, callers, and we talk about all kinds of stuff, all kinds of stuff. We talk about astronomy, we talk about mathematics, transcendentals, universals, and of course, biblical theology, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam. We talk about all kinds of isms and istics, and answer questions. I've been doing this for 41 years, and radio for almost 17, and the website, carm.org, carm.org. has had over 227 million page views, 147 million visitors, 80 million coming back visitors, that returning visitors checking things out. And so it's a big site, and we've got a lot of stuff going on. And like I said, if you want to give me a call, we can talk. 877-207-2276. So anyway, so I've been doing a lot of research, like I said, on the COVID thing, and I have a disclaimer on the website. I'm not qualified as a doctor, but I am a good researcher. And what I do is I research and research and research, and I try and find patterns. And what I mean by that is I'll research something until I start seeing the same thing coming up all the time. It's just, you don't know what you're going to find until you do that. And so it's one of the things I do. I've been doing this for decades. And then when I start seeing the patterns, then I start making note of the patterns. And so if the patterns are in a cult, if they teach this doctrine or whatever it is, that procedure or that practice, and I start seeing this regularly, then I know that that's a predominant issue within that group. And I'm seeing the same thing in COVID. And there are some other concerns, though, that I've got, because the issue of COVID and our government and information, there are some issues with our with the information that's coming forth, and you know, it takes a lot to wade through and get to the bottom of a lot of things, but I am doing a lot of research on that. Okay, so there you go. We have two open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Chuck from North Carolina. Chuck, welcome. You're on the air, buddy.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate it.
Sure.
Matt, how does God... Hello, Matt.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Do you hear me, Matt?
Yes, I do. I hear you fine.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good. Okay, I thought you said hello, but it wasn't... You know, I don't have the speakerphone on or anything.
Oh, okay.
How does God think? I mean, that
perfectly.
Was, you know, it might be a dumb question, but I don't know.
No, it's not a dumb question. No, it's not a dumb question. Because you're just asking, how does God think? Now, when they ask the question, how does God think, what do you mean by how does he think? Do you mean, does he think logically, in sequence, or does he think at all if he knows all things? Is there a thought process that goes on in his
right,
mind?
Right, that's what I mean. That's what I meant, yeah.
Well, if there's a... See, here's the issues that we have to face in this kind of a thing. That if we're mm-hmm. to say that that God thinks, then... We have to understand, well, what does it mean for God to think? Because when we think sequentially. We look at something, and I might, like I'm talking to you, and I'm going to make statements in a logical, hopefully logical, sequential order. Does God mm-hmm. do that? If God knows all things eternally, can he then think in a systematic way? And that's a question we can't answer. We don't know how God thinks. There must be something going on in his own mind that we just aren't completely unaware of. Because yeah. he cogitates. There's something going on in his mind. Okay, how does that happen? Don't know. And we just can't tell you. It just, we just don't know.
Like when, I understand. Like in Deuteronomy 28:30, I guess when he gives the Israelites, tell you, I'll give you a blessing or a curse, depending mm-hmm. on what they do. Mm-hmm. He is thinking in a way. I'm not knocking out his omniscience in no
right.
way. You know, I know he knows all things, but that's the hardest thing for me to understand.
Yeah, and it is, and rightfully so. We know that God reveals himself in such ways that it looks like he is thinking. And what he does is he speaks to us anthropomorphically. He lowers himself and speaks to us in such a way that we can mm-hmm. relate to what he says. And, mm-hmm. you know, God is completely different than what we are. He is wholly, completely different, and yet he has communicated mm-hmm. to us through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And so Jesus thought, and so, you know, I think God thinks. I don't know how that works.
Yeah. Right.
I don't know.
Okay, that's a great answer, Matt.
Well, okay. Just pleading ignorance.
Thanks very much, brother.
Okay.
Excuse me, sir.
I was just pleading ignorance. Yeah.
Brother.
Okay.
Yeah,
well, God bless.
We'll get in heaven and one day. Yep. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. All right. We'll see you. All right. Hey, folks, four open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Nelson from Bakersfield, California. Nelson, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Matt. God bless. God bless, brother. Yeah, my question is about 1 John 1, verse 6. Mm-hmm. If you could bring that up, and then I'll ask a following
sure.
question on that.
Okay. Oh, boy, look at that yawn. Oh, man, sorry about that. Okay, if we say we have fellowship with him, yet we walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was studying chapter 3 of this chapter a couple of weeks ago, mm-hmm. and when I came to this verse, it just dawned on me, like, can you now go to verse 4 of chapter 3 of 1 John? And mm-hmm. I don't know if it's a connection, but what John is saying here, it lies
out. Yeah, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So basically my question is, this is referring to people that are basically literally living in the dark wickedness type.
Right. In the NESB, in 1 John 3:4, it says, he who practices sin. Now, the Greek here is from the Greek word poeo, and it deals with, it deals with doing. And it's a participle, the one who, and it, let me put it this way, it's a present participle. And a present participle is a really interesting construction, and it's equivalent to I am practicing. I am is present, and practicing is a participle. ING words are participles, walking, talking, eating. So everyone who practices, now you could almost say it could be just be present tense, if you practice. Present tense, but it's a present participle. So what it's really saying is the one who is practicing, who is in the present, continually practicing sin. And that's what's going on.
Okay, okay.
So it's not talking about a Christian who may fall, a Christian who may mess up, exactly. A Christian who knows better and does something wrong. And then see, and then there's other issues. So what does it mean to practice sin? Does it mean, is this, it seems to imply here, a continued present tense practicing. Well, what do you do, let's say there's a guy who has a, whatever sin it is, and he stumbles into it once every 2 or 3 months. And he, you know, and he repents. Is he practicing sin? Not according to this.
No.
Because it has to be a present practicing. This is an, and that's an, I'm not excusing any sin at all, but it's an intermittent struggle. He failed. It's different. And in 1 John 1:6, if we say we have fellowship with him, and yet walk in darkness. And so there, when I look at there, let me go to the Greek here. And just so everybody knows, I have tools. Now, I've had 4.5 years of Greek in college and seminary, but I've forgotten a lot of it. So what I do is I have a really nice Bible program, Logos, and I can look at stuff, and I can see it's parsing, and that's what I'm doing right now. So it's present, active, subjunctive, yet you walk. It's possibility of this in the practicing of it. So if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness. So, yeah, that's what's going on there. It's okay. A hint of the same kind of thing. Yes. Okay.
And real quick, is that word practice, is it the same Greek word in when Paul says it in, I think it says it in New American Standard Bible, in chapter 7 of Romans?
Romans 7, let's see, roughly 18. I think, I don't know if it's word practice. Let me see. Yeah, I do not. But I practice
the word
evil.
Practice.
Yeah, let me look. It is the Greek word, proso. It's a different word.
Okay. Yeah, I figured it would be different.
Well,
Greek
that's okay. They're different Greek words. Romans 7:19. It says, I practice the very thing I don't want to do. And it's, proso. And it means to do, to make, perform in general, expressing an action as continued or not yet completed. What one does repeatedly, continually, habitually. Like poieo, which we talked about earlier. Okay? So, he's talking about he's practicing it. He doesn't want to do it. He struggles. Yeah. I sure relate to that.
Okay.
Okay, buddy?
Okay, Matt. Thank you very much.
All right. All right, God bless. Hey, folks, four wide open lines. If you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome back to the show. Why don't you give me a call, four open lines, 877-207-2276. So if you have a question on theology, the Bible, apologetics, cults, UFOs, the occult, a little bit of science, all kinds of stuff we can talk about. All you do is give me a call. Maybe you want to know if your church is doing the right thing. And what a good sermon is. Oh, boy. I've been hearing people preach lately, and they're just preaching moralism. Why are they so moralistic? I need the historical, redemptive, Christocentric methodology. That's how it should be in the Bible. But nevertheless, Wow. Let's get to David from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Dave, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. Love your show.
Thank you.
Learned a lot.
Good. I'm glad you have.
I've been a professing Christian since probably 19 years old, probably a Bible school, professed faith. I've probably said the sinner's prayer hundreds of times. Is it too late for me? Because some of the sins I've committed over the last 30 years, I wasn't going to go into it, but I'd say I'm worried that there's no hope for me or the term backslider. I search the scriptures for hope, but then I'll hear a message based off of the Hebrews where the apostasy, and I'm just looking for hope if there's any for just a devastated, I guess, follower of Christ.
Let me ask you some questions, okay? Just to answer them short and quickly, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is God in flesh?
Yes, I do.
Do you believe that he died on the cross, rose from the dead, the same body he died in?
Absolutely.
Okay. Do you believe that justification, being declared legally righteous, is by faith alone in Christ alone?
Yes.
Okay. Have you trusted in the Lord and you trust him? Even though you're not perfect, you as to the best of your ability, what you know, you trust the Lord for the forgiveness of your sins.
Yes, I did.
Okay, so you have these sins that you're working on or you're falling into, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and are you going to church?
Absolutely, yes.
All right. Okay, and so without getting into what those sins are, would you say they're really serious? You know, you're out as a serial killer, and you're finally talking, or, you know, you just have some struggles and some issues. So, you know.
I would say in my 40-year walk, what is it? I had an adulterous and lived with a woman, and I conflicted with that. I don't do that anymore. I'm married to her now, but. I just thinking, how could I have done that, being that I was saved?
How long have you been married to her?
6 years.
Okay.
But these sins keep coming up in my mind, and I try to qualify myself, but when I hear a message about the apostasy, committing the apostasy in Hebrews, it scares me to death.
Good, I'm glad. I'm glad it scares you, and I'm going to tell you some stuff here. Okay, now, so hear me out. You have been incredibly blessed by God. And the reason you have is because he didn't kill you for your sinful, deliberate rebellion against him while you're living with this woman. He could have killed you because of your great sin against him and your fornication.
You mentioned that last week, and that's been on my mind.
Good. Well, I'm glad it's on your mind because it should scare you. Because sin is a serious thing, and he takes it seriously. Now, here's a question we can talk about. Why is it he did not kill you when you deserve it? Nothing but the grace of God, nothing but the mercy of God is he's let you live. Furthermore, is this woman a Christian?
Yeah.
Supposed to be. All right. So you have led her into sin and as professing Christian. So your sin is great. It is absolutely tremendously great. You have betrayed God, you've betrayed your relationship with him, and you've led a woman into sin in a very bad way, and yet God let you live. I'm going to tell you why. Nothing but God's grace.
All ears.
Okay. Nothing but God's grace is why you're here. And what he is calling you to do. That's right. What he wants you to do is to confess your sins and repent. Now, if you go to church, you need to go to the elders, you need to talk to them about this. You and your wife, and you need to confess this sin before him and before your elders, and just acknowledge that you see it as sin, you knew it was sin, you did it anyway, and here you are, and nothing but God's grace is letting you live. And you need to praise God for his great mercy, and then you need to trust and completely rest in his forgiveness. because he has.
I appreciate that.
There's no sin that you can commit except for blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and that's not it. You can't commit a sin that he can't and won't forgive. Now, in Hebrews 6, 4 through 6, and Hebrews 10, 26, when it talks about falling away, no more atonement, can never be again brought back to repentance, it's not talking about individual Christians, it's talking about the Jews at the time who knew who Christ was and rejected the Messiah and the atoning sacrifice. There is no place of repentance for them. It's a false repentance they had to begin with. They're done. It doesn't apply to you. You cannot lose your salvation because Jesus says all that the Father gives him will come to him, and he will raise them all up. He will lose none. That's John 6, 35 through 40. So you have to understand this, that God has been very merciful to let you live. And the reason I know about this is because he's been very merciful to let me live. There have been things I've done in my past that you and I could get in a private conversation, talk about, and we'd go, yeah, uh-huh. Why did God let me live? Nothing but his grace. And it's but his grace. There are things I've done, even as a Christian, that I should have been killed for. And yet God, in his incredible mercies, allowed me to live, and look where I am now, speaking to people. This is nothing but his grace. So you need to take care of all of this. If you haven't already done this, you confess it as sin. Go to your elders of your church and just talk to them. And have a sit down, you and your wife.
Okay.
And you confess it out.
I appreciate that.
Okay. And if they're good elders, they'll say, okay, it's forgiven. And you move on. And you talk to your wife and you ask her for forgiveness. For leading her into sin. Don't worry about her asking you.
I know.
Because you're responsible for your own sin.
No, it's on me. It's on me.
That's right. Well, she's responsible for hers. But you need to talk to her about that. And just no excuses. I did this wrong. Just asking your forgiveness. The Lord's merciful. And we're moving on from here. You're married. You stay married. You stay faithful. You pray with her. Lead her towards Christ. And you move on from here. And God will use you. Because he uses filthy, vile sinners like us for his purpose. And those of us who have experienced the stupidity and sinfulness of rebellion have more appreciation for his kindness. And that's what you need.
I thank you so much.
All right,
for your direction, your ministry.
Right.
Thank you,
well,
Matt.
Praise God. All right, Dave. God bless.
Praise God. Yeah, have a good day.
That was Dave. We have two open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back, folks. Give me a call. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Let's get to, next longest waiting person is Kim from Rural Hall, North Carolina. Kim, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you, Matt. My question has to do with our predestination.
Okay.
And God knows who will be saved. And it says we were saved from the beginning, from the foundation of the world.
Well, let's talk about that before you go on. Knows who will get saved does not mean that he knows who will freely choose him because it's in their nature to do so. That's not what it means. A lot of people think that's what it means, that God just knows what people are going to just freely choose him because it's in their free will to do it. That's not what predestination means, even though a lot of people think that's what it is. Okay?
Okay. So that scripture is saying we will go home to be with the Lord.
Yes, we
will. So my question is,
yep.
Were we with the Lord before?
No.
In heaven?
Nope. No preexistence.
And he just sent us back?
Nope, there's no preexistence. I don't care what Mormons teach and others teach, there is no preexistence. All right, it's been a long time I had to quote this verse. Let's see, 1 Corinthians 15, I think it's 56. Let me see if that's the right one. Nope, that's not it. 45... Nope, that's not it. It's first, let's see. Yeah, here we go, 46. This is 1 Corinthians 15:46. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, then the spiritual. Now, the context is about the order of the resurrection. We have a physical body here. That's the natural body. And after that comes the spiritual body. But it says specifically, the spiritual is first. Not the spiritual, but the physical. So the resurrected body. Now, could it be limited only to the talk of this here? This earth here? And that could be the case, but it's talking about the resurrection, and so we have a spiritual body waiting for us, and it says the physical body is first. It doesn't necessitate that there's no pre-existence in that strictly logical sense, but there's nothing in Scripture that says that we pre-existed. Now, some people go to Jeremiah 1:5, and it says, I knew you before you were made. What that means is that God only knows believers. He only knows the elect. They're chosen from the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. He only has a knowing of them. It's not knowledge of them, it's knowing, which the Bible teaches has to do with being saved. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, John 10:27, Jesus says. And, you know, Matthew 7:23, he says to the people who are doing bad stuff, get away from me, I never knew you. And so when he says he knows you, it's doing with salvation, which is why it says in Romans 8:29, those whom he foreknew, he also predestined. The foreknown ones are also the predestined ones. So the foreknown doesn't mean that he knew them beforehand in an actual existing way, but it has to do with predestination and election. And so this is what's going on, and you never find anything in Scripture that says we pre-existed. It's just not there in the Bible. Okay?
Okay, Matt. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
Well, did that somehow answer one of your questions?
It does. Thank you.
Yeah. A lot of people, I'm going to say this again, it's a mistake for people to say that God looks into the future to see who will pick them and then he predestines them. That is faulty, it's unbiblical, and it's actually heretical. And the reason it's heretical is because it means that God is basing his decisions on a good quality in us. And there is nothing good in us, Romans 3:10, 11, and 12. And that would also mean that God was showing favoritism by saving people who have a good quality in themselves, and that violates James 2:2-4. And so there are lots of problems with it, and most Christians don't think these things through and don't know the biblical theology associated with it, but I'm trying to help them out. All right?
Okay. God bless.
Okay. All right, man. Okay. God bless. All right, that was Kim from Rural Hall, North Carolina. Three open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. We just lost Troy, and his was on Romans 11:26. I don't know what that, because that's about Israel. Let's see. And all Israel be saved. I wonder what that question was going to be. Call back if he wants. Let's get to Monique. And get the number out here, folks. Four open lines. Give me a call. 877-207-2276. Monique, you're on the air.
Good evening. Pass on to your wife. She stays in my heart, and I pray for her. I've got a real connection with her. Never seen her in my life. But my question...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I'm serious. I'm serious. My question, in your own strength, I thank God for the absolute impossibility of my life for one clear thing, which is it's very obvious that I do not know what I'm doing. I've committed my life. I love his word. My question to you, and I've done consciously what I know, but I see that that's not enough and that's a good thing. My question to you, though, please, is there a scripture in particular that you would suggest on your years of referring to and meditating on to make sure as much as you can that you are in his own strength? And let me please qualify that. When it's a day-to-day thing and naturally you're completely on your own, all these situations where there's no way to really not only know what to do, but being on dialysis an hour total away every other day by yourself, pressure of, yes, but you have to make some kind of wise decision so you don't make it harder on yourself. Best way to do food, best way. So what I keep hearing that comes up, if anything, from brothers, you know, is about being in your own strength and how Paul opens with grace and peace be to you mostly all the time before he says anything in his letters. I want to make sure I'm receiving that grace. I agree with it, no question. But it seems like I may still be going in circles with that. And I truly don't know, for lack of a better term, what to do, what to change, what to receive, to be sure that I'm receiving the strength.
I'm not sure what you're asking, though.
I don't know why this happens every time I call, but what I'm trying to say is there a, I don't, because I swear I pray even before I call them, but I do. I'm serious. It's very scary. But what I'm saying, and that's why I can over-explain, but I'm saying, is there a scripture reference that you can kind of go, just like if you're a worrier, you can go to be anxious for nothing, cast all your care. That's a very clear one if you worry all the time. But if you're in your own strength, more than you ought to be or at all, and yet you don't do that because you're arrogant and you think you know something, you don't know why you're doing it or to what extent you're doing it.
So what's your question? So
okay, see this, okay, again, I don't know how to ask it, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Is there a scripture? That's why I gave the example of worry. I worry. What scripture can
I get? A scripture for what?
For
okay, scripture for what?
I'm trying to tell you, dear brother. A scripture to go to,
yes,
to look at, to meditate upon if you are struggling with being more in your own strength as opposed to the strength of Christ Jesus.
How to depend on God more than yourself.
In a very practical way, because clearly I have no choice but to do that. But on a day-to-day basis, like making this decision, do I speak to this person or do I leave this alone? Oh, totally to God. Do I, and I'm not talking about stupid things like do I pay the bill or let God drop the money. I'm saying, you know, do I communicate this issue or do I leave it here? Do I, you know, practical things that you have to do. You can't just sit there and not eat and sit there and not, you know, how do you make those decisions when there are compounding variables that don't make it an obvious thing? Like, you know, you're doubled over in pain. So do you rest or do you fight through that and go take care of this? Or do you, you see what I'm saying? I hope
no.
You do, I really don't. Oh, my God. This is so scary.
No, you just use Lord's name in vain. You just use Lord's name in vain.
Not really. Not really.
Yes, you did.
Really
now, but what's your, just if you had to write down one sentence, what would be your sentence as a question?
Okay. Okay, I promise you I'm being a sin. Is there a scripture reference
okay. Yeah.
To look at and meditate on and go back to if you are struggling or possibly struggling with operating not in the strength and grace of God, but in your own strength and wisdom. And again, I have to add, not
okay.
out of arrogance, like
I gotcha.
You know what you're doing.
So verses okay, about good. Dependence on God and working in His strength.
Yeah, yes.
Okay, that's what you're looking for. Scriptures that deal with dependence on God.
In a very active sense, not like for your whole life salvation. I'm talking about day-to-day things that have to be done when you have no choice but to move through all that stuff naturally yourself. No husband, no friend, no help.
Well,
you have to do it.
Okay.
I'm glad I'm making you laugh because I'm totally bewildered. But go right ahead.
I don't know why I'm laughing, but you know, because I'm a little autistic, I always like things short and sweet, and you're not there, and I'm enjoying the difference. That's all.
Well, I just said the same thing two times, but okay.
Hold on. We got a break, all right? We'll be right back, okay? Hold on. Hey, folks, we have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We have three open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Okay, Monique, are you there?
Yes.
All right. So basically, if I'm getting this correct, you want some scriptures dealing with the idea of depending on God instead of yourself.
Yes, and at the risk, I don't want to throw you back into that, but specifically not like what does he say about it, but more so how to measure your own self as far as where you are in that? Like, oh, this is
I don't know. I don't know if I have verses that talk about how to measure yourself in relationship to your dependence on God.
Okay.
That's something
okay,
between...
With what you, yeah, that's fine. I'll even take the ones that just refer, because maybe that's all I need is to remember which ones talk
well,
like you say about...
There are verses that talk about just depending on God, like Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. You know,
trust
on
the Lord.
Right, with all your heart, lead not in your own understanding, and all your ways to submit to him, and he'll make your paths straight. It doesn't say how to do it, it just says to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, then there's James 4, 6 through 8. You know, he gives grace, gives more grace, more, therefore, you know, he resists the proud, gives grace to the humble.
Mm-hmm.
I particularly like verses like Philippians 1, 6. It says, God is faithful, and excuse me, I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect
it.
And I like that verse. It speaks to me because God is working to perfect in spite of me. And I like that.
Oh, there's my... I received that. I think I actually just bear witness. Okay. Then that
Also Romans 8:28. We know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now, Philippians 1:6 and Romans 8:28 speak to me. It's just my mind the way I am. I need to know, be reminded that God's at work. God's doing things. Because I'm always at work and I'm always doing things, and my pride and my stupidity and selfishness are always in there, and my independence. And I like to know that God works even my sinful things for the ultimate good. And so I rest in those things. They minister to me. Okay. And that God's perfecting
things. Well, that does. And I mean, I don't know where I am in that, of course, but I laugh to think I'm proud about anything. Because, like I said, it really is impossible. I've been called smart, strong, all that. It is impossible. So I understand that I do. But practically, I feel like I struggle with that, obviously, because I keep getting reminded you're in your own strength, but it's terribly scary and frustrating because I'm not consciously saying, yeah, God, anyway, or whatever, God. I'm not. I don't know. That's why I asked
you. You are falling in your strength as well as your weakness, because, you know, you have the ability to think, to move forward, to go, and to do, and you can react quickly and think with things. Well, how much of that is you, and how much of it's dependence on God? And you got to figure those out. And I'll tell you, it's a real struggle.
I feel like I can't afford to be erring on the side of too much of me. But I know, because of what you just said, that was actually more the answer than I would have thought. And I'm glad, for a witness with it. So thank you so much, and for fighting through it. I promise you, I don't know how to ask them any more simple. Like, I could have sworn that's what I'm testing again. But, either way, I thank you I don't know how that happens, but it doesn't matter. The answer. Remind your wife, really. And thank you so much, and God bless you, and let's pray that six. I'm so tired of struggling every day. So thank you.
It's okay.
Thank you.
It's all right, buddy. God bless, all right? Feel free to call back.
All right, you too.
All right.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Well, I enjoyed that call, actually. All right. Let's get to Roger from North Carolina. Roger, welcome. You are on the air.
Well, I don't know how to follow that question.
So what do you got, man?
We'll just keep it short and sweet. Okay. Sanctification. Is that monergistic or synergistic?
It's synergistic. Okay. All right.
That's what I would say. Yeah, the Holy Spirit working into you to...
Right.
Kind of work through that. Okay.
Right. It's justification, salvation, or monergistic. Sanctification, we are involved with it, and we seek to be more sanctified, and we actually take an effort at it. So it's synergistic. Yes.
Okay. And I think it was Friday. Somebody called in about a question about Johnny Mac and him saying about the mark of the beast.
Yeah, and I need that documentation to, to take a look.
Oh, he didn't say anything? Okay.
No, well, I don't know. Q&A. I'm always just got eight irons in the fire, and so anyway.
All right, I'll send that to you, but it's from a question and answer, and somebody asked. It was a question that somebody asked. What if somebody believed when they took the mark of the beast, would they be saved?
Well,
and Johnny Mac's answer mm-hmm. was that if they truly came to faith, then they would be saved, because the only unforgivable sin is blasphemy of spirit. Yeah. But then he went on to say later that he believes they're in a hardened state. They don't think he can, no one can come to faith. But that was a what-if question. It really wasn't.
Well, I could see that. And it's a question that the Bible doesn't get into. What if you have a true believer and in ignorance takes that mark, doesn't know? Well, is the person saved? I would still say yes. In that situation, it just depends on a level of awareness, in part, as part of the conversation. So if you know it's the mark of the beast, you believe it's the Antichrist, you take that mark, you're in trouble. Or I wouldn't say that person's saved, but I could see that there could be Christians who just don't know any better, and they do stuff. You know, there's a lot of Christians who don't know a lot of stuff that's true in the Scriptures. And so I think in that situation, I think it's possible.
Yeah, and that's what it was, a what-if question. And mm-hmm. I think he went on to say that he doesn't think that anybody that takes the mark, they're going to be in such a hardened state, they're going to be, they're going to be blinded, that they're not going to believe, he doesn't believe there any will believe. It's the same thing they do with, like, the blood thing, where, Johnny Mac said, just simple blood's not going to save you, the blood of Christ. We're referring to, if Jesus has to die, he just can't, he just can't get cut and bleed. He has to die for in your place. And they took that, it's context.
He's right. It's not just the shed blood. It's the shed blood of God, who also took our sins upon him, and that death in concert with all of it being who he is. That's what made the atonement work. Yeah.
Yes.
It's not just.
A lot of people here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's people taking stuff out of context.
Like
I said, they're saying the blood, like, because you're saved by the blood, but that doesn't mean you're saved by, simple him being tortured. It's about Christ dying in your place, in your position.
Right.
That he has to die. It's not just simple,
Right.
Going through
and,
it. So.
And I've said a similar thing years ago. I've said stuff like this because I've thought it through. I understand what he's saying. And people can take this out of context, so let me kind of just get through it. It's not just that shed blood of Jesus, as in the sense that it's independent of the imputation of our sin to him, and it's also independent of him being God in flesh. But it's almost a non sequitur, because the blood of Christ is due to the incarnation, and also is due to, in part, the imputation. It's all of it that comes together, and it's not wise to separate one aspect from the other. So what he is simply saying is that, and I agree with this, it's the whole is what makes the atonement work. And he bore our sin, because while bearing our sin, there is no atonement. And that he bore our sins in his body on the cross, 1 Peter 2:24. That's what it means. And so that is along with the fact that he's God in flesh, John 1:1, verse 14. That's part of it. And that he died, which is the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. And he's a sacrifice. Hebrews 5, 6, and 7 talks about it. All of this is the atoning work. And if we take one thing only and talk about it, then we have problems. And so what he might be doing is saying, well, if this is one aspect, isn't what makes the atonement, then I understand what he's doing, and people can take this, take it out of context and not understand. And it is a problem.
And I would also say, even the works of God of living the perfect life and being the perfect sacrifice. Would you add that in as well?
Yes. You know what? I'm glad you said it, because you are absolutely correct. He, 1 Peter 2:22, he never sinned, and he demonstrated while being under the law, Galatians 4:4, the perfection of his work. So I would say all of this combines into the efficacy, the efficiency, and sufficiency of that cross and the atoning sacrifice. Yep. If we had just a man who never sinned, that's not going to be sufficient for the atoning sacrifice, because there has to be an imputation of sin. There also needs to be a divine presence so that the sacrifice is of divine value. And so all of this comes together. Yeah. Make sense?
Yes, sir. That's what I agree. Sir. Thank you for your day, Matt. God bless.
You too, Matt. God bless. All right. Interesting question. Very interesting theological question. Let's get to Logan from Burlington, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Hanging in there. So what do you got, buddy?
Yeah, so I'm in college right now, but my employer is talking about mandating the vaccine. I'm just kind of wondering what I should do. because I've done my research, and I don't think I want to get it.
What I could recommend that you do is go to CARM. Go to CARM. Yeah. We're almost out of time. Go to CARM and go to CARM.org/COVID and look for up the religious exemption article. One of the things that a lot of people don't know is that the development and testing of the vaccines, not all of them they use a human aborted fetal tissue. Not all of them in their development, but all of them in their testing. And I don't want to benefit from the sacrifice of human babies. That's
most definitely.
And I don't trust the vaccine. I've seen too many deleterious effects and heard too many stories. And it's a problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what I've been told by my employer is the Christian thing to do is to be obedient and just to take it and not really to question it.
Is your employer a theologian?
But
I'd be glad to talk to your employer theologian.
Mm-hmm. We actually have like a Christ-centered business.
I can talk to them.
I'm not sure.
I can talk to them.
Yeah,
put them in contact with me. We'll go through it. Yeah.
Definitely a big issue for me because I don't want to lose my job when I'm trying to go through college.
Here's the thing.
Just a big issue on my heart.
Here's the thing. What if you were to offer them, you say, look, I don't trust the vaccine. It violates ethics about baby tissue. And what if you get tested and you have the antibodies? That means because the natural immunity is 13 times better than vaccination. If I can demonstrate that I've been that I have immunity, isn't that good enough? Okay.
I would say most definitely.
Because if he's going to be reasonable as a Christian, tell him you have this guy who I could talk to him about. I'd be glad to talk to them about the Christian value in this. There's also the issue of self-protection. That's one of the reasons, additional reason I don't want to take it, for self-protection, self-defense. I don't trust it, personally.
I think people, they blindly trust everything they hear on the news.
That's right.
You know, without taking any type of consideration.
That's right.
That's just the issue.
In Romans 13, submitting to the government doesn't necessitate this in this issue, because it violates other areas of Scripture. So go to CARM.org/COVID, take a look at stuff. Okay, it also read the disclaimer that's there, all right? Okay, buddy, got to go. All right, let me know what happens. All right, hey, folks, we're out of time. May the Lord bless you by His grace. We'll be back on here tomorrow, and we'll talk to you then. May you have a great evening. God bless everybody.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.